Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, only four teams remain for the college football playoff. One SEC team is, in fact, in the running. That's the Ole Miss Rebels. They get the victory over Georgia. Nobody thought that the Rebels would be here, minus Lane Kiffin. They have the longest odds to potentially win a national championship at plus 550. Give me your thoughts about the remaining four teams. And can, in fact, Ole Miss win it all?
Yeah, I think all four of these teams can win it all. I think in my mind, based on the body of work, Indiana remains number one. If you're just going with the favorite, they are the favorite. And if they play their game, I think they hang on and win the championship. But everybody can get hot and beat them, including Ole Miss. Ole Miss has got a quarterback who is the most explosive, most exciting quarterback in the playoffs right now. And he's a difference maker, and he can score points. They score points with him. And anytime you're a team that's good, and they can get over 30 real quick. And a lot of teams won't go with that. So really, Ole Miss, because of their quarterback, gives the SEC a chance to at least get into that championship game and go from there. And in that game, anything can happen, I assure you. We don't have a team right now that's won a national championship except way, way back. I think it's been, these teams are just a long way. Even Miami's 24 years since they won a national championship. So the SEC, Ole Miss, I think has won back in the day, but it's been a lot of years.
And when you look at the conferences, the SEC for years was known as the big boys on the block, winning multiple national championships. Nick Saban in Alabama had won six national championships during his tenure in Tuscaloosa, but it has been, in fact, the Big Ten that has won the back-to-back national championships. Michigan 2 years ago, Ohio State last year, and they're guaranteed yet another team in the national championship game with the winner of Indiana and Oregon. Has the SEC lost its luster? Not just when you look at the college football playoff. They did, in fact, have five teams that made the playoff. The only remaining team is, in fact, Ole Miss. But when you look at the body of work throughout the bowl season, the SEC hasn't stepped up.
No, the SEC has not performed well. And I think we're at a point in time in college football where the SEC has got to fight for their position as the number one team. Now, we know the passion in the Deep South. There's not a lot of other sports they enjoy. Fans, college football is the sport. Recruiting is the next sport. You know, spring ball is the next sport. That's their thing. And also, if you look at the NFL draft over the last 4 or 5 years, the number of players coming out of the SEC, they are bigger than everybody else. But when it comes down to now in the era of portal and the era of NIL, and many people think that there's more money in the big, highly populated schools in the north, and the schools there committed to getting involved in that and not relying on just tradition, on just passion, that the SEC is going to have to put up or shut up. When you look at the bowls this year and the playoffs, The SEC has not done well, and they haven't done well against the Big Ten. I know Texas won. That was a big win for them. But overall, when you look at Illinois and Iowa, and you look at the teams that are left, Oregon and Ohio, and Indiana, the way they beat Alabama, you would have to say SEC is going to have to admit, unless Ole Miss were to pull this thing off, that they now have to do some catching up with the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think when you look at the SEC, they're rooting for obviously Ole Miss to knock off Miami, to at least have one team in the national championship game. It's not one of the most recognizable names when you think about Alabama, when you think about Georgia, and even Oklahoma, for that matter, that squared off in round number one. But Ole Miss potentially is the hottest team in the country right now. They won and knocked around Georgia. They put up 39 points on a Kirby Smart defense. They won it by 5 points, and they did it without Lane Kiffin walking on the sidelines. That is a testament to how dialed in Pete Golden and Charlie Weiss are in this interim staff in basically steering the Rebels to potentially a national championship win.
Yeah, but let's go back to Ole Miss again. When we talked about this is the era of NIL and portal transfer, which team in the SEC jumped into the portal and jumped into NILs more than anybody else? Ole Miss. Ole Miss went out there and said, okay, we're going to go out there and take the playing field as it is now, and the recruiting as it is now, and we're going to have to go off after it full force. And you have to say, whether it was by accident or by design, Lane Kiffin late going after Trinidad Chambliss, who was committed to going to Temple. He was at a Division II school going to Temple because they're the only team that was really wanting to give him a Division I scholarship. Lane Kiffin recognizes some talent. He's had some good quarterbacks in his day. He was looking for a backup. But whether you say it was a little bit of luck or just great evaluation, Ole Miss has been the one team that says, you know what, we're going to jump into NILs, we're going to jump into portal, and we're going to play the game as it's being played today. And I think that's what every single team in the SEC has to look at and say, you know what, we can't depend on tradition. We can't depend on passion of our fans. We also have to go out and make sure we're getting the very best quarterback, the very best players in the country, and go after it every single year. And not just go to the high schools and develop. You got to do both, but you can't rely on the old-fashioned way of doing it.
No, and Lane Kiffin really showcased that. I think Dan Lanning did that as well throughout his tenure in Oregon and Eugene, and getting teams immediately ready and prepared to play big matchups by getting transfer talent in the portal. We'll see exactly how Ole Miss fares. We'll dive into that game against Miami in next segment. Do want to bring up the SEC coaching hires in the offseason. Yeah. Where right now, Lane Kiffin goes to LSU. Summerall goes to Florida. Golish does go to Auburn. Silverfield to Arkansas. Any one of those coaches stands out for you in being able to turn it around immediately in year number one?
Well, the guy that you have to recognize is Lane Kiffin. I know we get tired of throwing his name out there, but he is proven. He's a proven commodity. He knows what he's doing. He's had, four out of the last 5 years at Ole Miss. He won 10 or more games, double-digit wins. He's got a place where he can even have a better chance to get the very best players, where the budget is going to be as much as he wants. I think he's proven he can probably turn a program around as quick as anybody with the portal and with the transfers. So you'd have to say that hire right there. I know I saw this week where Alex Golish has brought his quarterback up from USF, his quarterback Byron Brown, committed today to go to Auburn. And that gives them a playmaker, a top quarterback at their position. And I think that's probably the one that Auburn's one that's sitting out there that I've said this before, how they can be five losing seasons and Ole Miss 5-10-plus win seasons. There's no reason for Auburn to be like it is because they have the resources and they have the commitment to go out there and get every player they want and around the country.
Absolutely. I think Golish is a disciplined head coach. I think the biggest thing that he'll bring back is a physicality on the offense and defensive lines. I think that defense was stellar last year under DJ Durkin. I think they'll be able to retain that talent, and he can concentrate potentially on the interior line and getting the transfers in there like Byron Brown. I also think that Silverfield at Arkansas is a pretty interesting hire. He's elevated Memphis to a certain capacity. He did get already two or three players from his former team, a couple of quarterbacks and skilled talent. Silverfield at Memphis elevated this team to multiple 10-win seasons, Coach.
Right.
They were in a position to potentially be that group of five team with Tulane and some of the others. Arkansas could be very intriguing over the next couple of years.
I think he's a good hire. I just think I will say this. Memphis has been a stepping stone for a lot of coaches. You go there because they are the haves, not the have-nots when it comes to their conference. And so they have been a stepping stone, but he did a good job there. I do want to add this. It wasn't a coaching change, but it's a coaching situation for DeBoer. He has got to show something. It's going to be a tough offseason because being there is going to be tougher than not being there, I believe.
When we come back, we'll dive into that semifinal playoff game coming up next.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi, Coach Bowden, breaking down the semifinal playoff game between Ole Miss and Miami. Both teams had long shot odds to potentially win a national championship. Not anymore. Miami opens up as a 3.5-point favorite in the Fiesta Bowl. Ole Miss right now knocked off Georgia. Their offense is hot as any offense in this playoff right now, Coach. Total is set at 51.5 early on. Which quarterback do you give the edge to heading into this matchup?
Well, I think Trinidad Chambliss, of all the quarterbacks that have been left, I think he's the most dynamic quarterback playing right now, maybe in the country for the entire season, especially of the playoff teams that are left. He's just been incredible. Again, when you try to put pressure on him, as Miami will, he's going to get the ball out of his hands instantly. If you do get to him where he's got to go down the field, he has a great job of escaping to the outside and making spectacular throws on the run. We saw that over and over again. Underhanded, over the top, last play of the game to win the game. It's amazing what he does when he does have to scramble. Now, I will say this. Miami will not only put pressure on him, but there's going to be somebody coming from the backside that's just as fast as the guy that's putting pressure on him with both of those edge players. So he's going to be tested, as he's not been tested this year, with the speed Miami has off of both sides.
Which edge do you give offense and defensive lines? Are you going with the Hurricanes, or do you think Ole Miss could go toe-to-toe in the trenches with Miami?
No, I think definitely Miami has got the most athletic team that can cause the most havoc. I think that's what they've done. They had 7 sacks against A&M. They had 5 more against Ohio State. And those were good offensive lines, but they just dominated, and they were able to shut down the run against those teams as well. And so I think that's the thing. I think their defensive line is the best out there on Saturday, on the game Thursday night. But again, they've got a quarterback at Ole Miss that he's not flustered. He has not become flustered, no matter how good the defenses are, how much pressure they have put on. And I've said this earlier, he scored, 35 against Georgia, then 39 against Georgia, then 34 against Oklahoma. Those are great defenses. They don't quite have the pressure that Miami has. And in fact, right now, up to the last 2 or 3 games, Miami may be playing better than anybody in the country from a defensive front standpoint. But I do think they have a quarterback that can best handle that situation and a play caller that calls enough quick hitters. I mean, if you don't cover up a receiver, the ball's going to be out of the quarterback's hands instantly on first down. It's going to be on the hands of one of those receivers on a quick hitch. And so I think Miami's got to have a plan for that. Our Ole Miss will be taking 5 or 6 or 7 yards every first down.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at Trinidad Chambliss's play, the biggest thing for me is you look at early November, Coach. He's had 5 out of 6, 5 300-yard performances over the last six games, right? And the sixth game he threw for 282 yards. Over the last five games, two of them were playoff games, three regular season games at the end of the regular season. He only threw one interception. So he's not turning the football over. That shows me that he's very confident with the play calling. He understands pattern recognition. He knows where he wants to go with the football. He's patient. He very rarely looks rattled. And that's going to be the matchup, I think, going up against Miami secondary. We've seen at times Miami be exposed by better quarterbacks. They really buckled it up over the last month and a half of the regular season. But this is going to be a challenge, I believe, for Miami. When you look at the wide receivers, Harrison Wallace, Caden Lee, you look at Stribling, they're going to put and challenge Miami vertically, something that the Hurricanes really haven't seen all that much so far.
Yeah, and I want to mention this too, because remember I just said, if you don't cover them tight, they're going to hit hitches all day. But the minute you cover them tight, they're going to transfer to a takeoff. And he is very accurate throwing the deep ball. So they're gonna cause problems if you try to play one high man coverage, because they are sleek. The receivers are very talented. They're good one-on-one. They avoid collisions, and they make great catches downfield. So, again, it's going to be a real challenge. I think one of Ole Miss's strengths is the design of their offense and the way they utilize their passing game with their running back. And again, he is a big factor too, because when you get people in the secondary, when you play man and you turn your back to the ball, you're not getting any gang tackling. Whoever makes the tackle is not going to get support from somebody else. So a lot of problems Ole Miss's offense can give you. And again, the biggest thing about Chambliss is this. You remember Bill Walsh, you had Joe Montana. He used to say the quarterback has to have poise under pressure. That's what this kid has. I don't care if he was still playing Division III or II. This kid had poise under pressure when he was playing Little League football. It's natural to him, and he has stepped into the SEC, into the college football playoffs, and he has shown what it means to play as a quarterback with poise under pressure.
Absolutely. What about the running backs, Fletcher and Kiwon Lacy? I mean, both dynamic running backs. Lacy rushes for over 1,400 yards, 4.8 yards per carry, 23 rushing touchdowns on the season. He could also catch the football out of the backfield. But Mark Fletcher runs with a physicality that we've rarely seen a Miami running back play, maybe over the past 10 to 15 years. Which running back do you feel has the edge entering this matchup?
Well, I like them both. I think they both fit their offensive styles. Fletcher's going to be more powerful, 225. They're going to rush him between the tackles a lot. They're going to take the offensive lineman and push the pile to get extra yardage. Lacy can catch it out of the backfield. He can stretch the corner, and he can slice it into the middle. So he's a little more versatile. He has a chance to make bigger plays. I think both of them are critically important, because you cannot be one-dimensional against these teams and be effective. Ole Miss especially cannot be one-dimensional. I think Miami wants to run the ball because that's the strength of their football team, although the Ole Miss defense is not as dynamic as Miami's defense. But both, I think, need to run the ball.
Yeah, we talked about Ole Miss's defense allowing 146 rushing yards per game. We saw Georgia attack that middle in the first half. They could not do that in the second half, became very predictable, and were put into long third down situations. And that's a main reason why Ole Miss was able to win that matchup by 5 points. When Coach and I return, we'll talk more about this game, the coaching staffs, and maybe potentially some other players that you don't know of, coming right back, right here on the Bowden Blitz. All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down Ole Miss, Miami. We left off talking about the running backs. Coach, I want to take a look at both of these coaching staffs. Pete Golden, Charlie Weiss, were a dynamic 1-2 punch against Georgia and Kirby Smart. who do you give the edge to? Because there were, for years, under Mario Cristobal, Miami did have inconsistency. They've sort of buckled that up in this mini run. Do you give the edge to Cristobal and the Hurricanes, or are you still rocking with Pete Golding and the young gun, Charlie Weiss?
Yeah, you know, I think Ole Miss, I've watched both offenses. I know Shannon Dawson, offensive coordinator. I've gotten to know him a long time ago, and I've known him for a while. He's done a good job, but their head coach demands a more conservative style. I don't think he lets the offensive coordinator move too far away from what his philosophy is, whereas Charlie Weiss is going to mix it up from the get-go. Golding has done a great job as a defensive coordinator. I think as you look back, you still have those visions of Miami making a bad call here there, or blowing a game they should have won by just not doing the right thing or 1 minute or whatever. So I just know I know how Ole Miss is going to play. From a standpoint of the coordinators, I like that. Now, I've seen rumors this week that as many as six coaches may stay at Ole Miss and not come back. And I do think I believe what Golding says is true. A few years ago, we had no system. We had no extra coaches. Now you can hire as many as you want, and they can all coach on the field. So I don't think very many schools are hurting. If, as long as you got your offense and defensive coordinator like Ole Miss does, and they're the guys that are going to be moving the pieces during the game, I think the other positions can be adequately taken over by the backup, the analyst, or the other coach that's there that has been helping that is not the full-time assistant. I don't think they're as worried about that. I'm not as worried about that as I would have been 5 years ago when you weren't allowed to have people coaching on the field except for the 11 coaches that you named before the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another factor as well, when we just look at this breakdown about if Miami does win the game, I do feel they have to dictate the tempo. We talked about that. You know, Miami wants to probably win a lower scoring game, where Ole Miss wants to push a little bit of tempo, get Chambliss into a rhythm, jump up early, and then force Carson Beck to play from behind. That is something that Miami has struggled with this season. You look at both of their losses, playing from behind. Not a good recipe to potentially win this game in a college football playoff environment. I think one player that has to be involved for Miami is former LSU and Liberty wide receiver C.J. Daniels. He was involved in the offense early, middle part of the year, missed three games. He did have basically 49 receiving yards in the win against Ohio State. He has to be integral for this offense to take the pressure, Coach, off of Malachi Toney. When we talk about Miami's passing attack, very, I want to say, methodical, underneath balls, not a lot of deep shots. That's because they're relying on Mark Fletcher and the rushing attack. Ole Miss is going to force that a little bit and force Carson Beck to go vertical in this game, no?
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. I think Malachi, he gives you a horizontal running game, passing game, almost like a running back with his jet sweeps and those type of things and the way they get the ball to him. Daniels does a great job of getting downfield, the vertical passing game. It's what they haven't had as much of, and I think they're going to need to have that to go with the running attack. And again, you mentioned another thing too, that Miami, if they do get into a scoring match, and I think I will take the over if I go with Ole Miss, which I'm going to do, they've got to be careful because Carson Beck has thrown six interceptions in their two losses where he felt like he had to score points. He only had four interceptions in the other 10 games. So as long as they're in a comfortable position, whether they're winning or losing, they're still moving the football. They're still staying ahead of the chains. I think Carson Beck will do fine. But if he gets behind the chains, if they're having to play a little catch-up, he has had a tendency in their two losses to give the ball to the other team.
Now, I like Ole Miss to win it, Coach. I think they win it outright. I just think they have the better quarterback. I like their skill talent. I know in the trenches they might not have the advantage, but I think Ole Miss does win the game outright.
I'm with you. I feel that way as well, and I think it'll be a good hard-fought battle, but I do not think Miami will be able to match point for point with what my Ole Miss's offense is going to do.
Yeah, we'll see. 51.5 is the total. We've seen this Ole Miss Rebels offense just blow right through that number in multiple games this year. They are averaging well over 30 points per game. For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll be back previewing the national championship game next week as well. Enjoy the games. We'll see you next week. For Coach Bowden, have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.